Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I am William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons.
And today we are covering Ygwilv, the Witch Queen.
Welcome, adventurers, to the Dungeon Cast.
Hey, Brian.
Ygwilv, the Witch Queen.
Indeed.
On the cover of the Tasha's book.
Yes. I mean, technically.
Because it's Tasha.
Technically, she's Persona Tasha on the regular cover and Persona Ygwilv on that special alternative cover.
Yes, the only one I know.
Oh, yeah, that's the one you have, right?
How are you, Will?
I'm doing good. I'm a little less sick. My cough's a little bit more under control.
As time travelers, we've recorded the next episode.
While I was sicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
and so this is the episode airing after your return.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So welcome back.
Time. It works strangely.
It works strange when you record weird.
Yes, indeed. Well, Brian, today is a special day.
Indeed.
It's the patron voted episode day.
Indeed.
That's right. Every month we will be having an episode suggested and voted on by our good patrons over on Patreon. And this month they have voted for none other than the Witch Queen herself, Ygwilv. Now, Ygwilv has a long and storied history throughout not just her original material plane of O-Earth, which is Greyhawk, but the entire multiverse. She isn't the first character we've covered with this concern, though, and she won't be the last. So let's get into it.
Cool. Just before we do that, if you want a hand on that voting ball, go to patreon.com/thedungeoncast. It really helps us out. It's like our main way of
surviving.
Yeah, getting through.
Indeed.
Yeah, we fund a lot of projects with Patreon money, and we have like a lot of cool stuff going on there.
We do.
If you want to get more involved with the show, or get more show, or get episodes early and stuff. Yeah. But
the current vote for December is ongoing right now, and an introduction to Dragonlance is in the lead by quite the margin.
Yeah. So if you don't want to hear that,
yeah, get in there and let us know.
Go throw us some bones. Thanks a lot.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right. So Ygwilv the Witch Queen is an O-Earthian archmage and demonologist. She's considered one of the most powerful beings in the multiverse, on par with even demon lords. She has many alternative names. On O-Earth, she has been called the Witch Queen of Perrinland and the Mother of Witches. Her aliases include the prodigal wizard Tasha, or Natasha the Dark, and the archfey Zybilna of Prismere. Ygwilv is most known throughout the cosmos for famously writing the Demonomicon of Ygwilv, the most thorough and blasphemous tome of demonology in the multiverse. Later in life, she created her own Domain of Delight in the Feywild and has ascended as one of the plane's powerful archfey. Now, we're going to talk about that because it's very, very tightly tied in with the... what's it called? The Fey adventure that came out with earlier.
Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
She's super in tied with that entire adventure. So there'll be spoilers for that one later.
Okay, so she's demon lord powerful, but tied to the Fey mostly.
That is, but not mostly. The Fey thing is super fucking new. That's like super goddamn new.
Yeah, because I'm gonna say you have a book called the Demonomicon.
Yeah, up to this point, she has been like in it with the demons.
Okay,
like,
cool.
All up in them demon politics.
Damn,
in the grossest of ways we're going to talk about.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
We be doing demon
shit
here.
Shout out to Demogorgon.
Shout out to Demogorgon.
In a way, you and I are much like Ygwilv.
Yeah, we're even writing a book.
We are. We're writing a book. It has nothing to do with demons, but yes. So the exact appearance of Ygwilv is truly unknown and subject to wildly varying accounts. Some describe her as a ravishing beauty, while others claim she is a bald and hideous crone. Those depicting her as young tell of a brunette in a classic witch's hat and robes, of a raven-haired enchantress with eyes of blackest night, of a woman young and lovely, but with hair as white as winter. In fact, they were all accurate, because Ygwilv was one of the most powerful spellcasters of all time, and she can look how she wants when she wants. So, there that is.
Mm-hmm.
But most recent sources state that the Witch Queen appears as a beautiful human woman with raven hair that eventually went stark white. Even after becoming an archfey, she still retains a human-like appearance.
It's like the character creation in video games. You can just like sort of tweak color, size,
absolutely,
hair.
Yes, that's, and that's what she does.
She's just doing that constantly.
She goes back to that character creation mirror and she just redoes it.
That's what I would be doing, honestly.
Absolutely. If I could, I would too.
She sounds a lot like Maleficent in this descriptive paragraph here.
I could see some parallels here and there with that.
She's absolutely doing character creation on herself, canonically.
I haven't seen the Maleficent movies. I am only familiar with the Sleeping Beauty movie.
Yeah, she turns into like an old lady in that one.
She does. Yeah. I think, yeah, absolutely.
You think that's the end of it?
No.
You think that she can just... It's either,
well, she does turn into a dragon, so no, yeah, it's not the end of it.
Well, that's a polymorph, but do you think she's either like crazy tall, horned, and dark, or do you
think
she...
That would be fun. Let's
build... Old ladies, one or the other.
We should definitely build Maleficent on one of our episodes when we find the subclass that's right for her.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we should. Okay. Across the telling of her tales, Igwilv is most often characterized as a selfish, evil-aligned magic user with much power and a penchant for sexual manipulation.
Oh my.
I will let you and the audience be the judge of that, but I will say that without a doubt, Igwilv is very much defined by her unwavering and fierce ambition. And that ambition and the success it has seen has made Igwilv one of the most dangerous and accomplished persons in all of D&D.
So far, so good. We're hitting all the right beats for a big bad here.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Also, yeah. I think, well, we'll see what you think by the end of it. She could serve as like a big neutral, if you will.
A big neutral.
Big dangerous neutral who like could be the bad if you cross her wrong, but so long as you don't, she'll just remain the big neutral.
Okay, so big BBN, so big beautiful neutral.
Yeah, absolutely.
A big bad neutral, sorry.
Big beautiful neutral.
Big beautiful neutrals.
Igwilv was born centuries ago to unknown parents in the world of O'Earth. Again, that's Greyhawk. Little is known of her life during this time. But what is known is that for some reason, Igwilv was adopted by the legendary witch Baba Yaga as a young child and renamed her Natasha.
John Wick?
What?
There's that scene in the first John Wick pretty early on where he's like, we call him, or no, it's not Baba Yaga, who we send to kill the Baba Yaga.
I don't remember that part of the movie, but I believe you.
I don't know why I'm on John Wick so much.
John
lately.
Wick's a good movie. Yeah. I have to rewatch it because I don't remember that part.
Pretty good.
Baba Yaga is from like Eastern European folklore and stuff.
Are you right, yeah. With the concept, like, right? Like, I think the dude in the movie is like Romanian or something.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Giant chicken legs. The hut walks. Anyways, moving on. Many of Igwilv's earliest memories are of the Feywild, which she was for the longest time resentful for. The Feywild, though beautiful and magical, is also full of frequent occurrences of bizarre and unpredictable natural phenomenon, which I'm sure as a child can be quite traumatizing.
Yeah, totally.
Feywild's not a fun place most of the time. Mm-mm. It makes you think it is for a moment, and then it isn't.
It's whimsical,
yeah.
And that can get crazy.
In a cruel way.
It's like when you get on the teacups at Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, and you think
like
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, but then somebody starts really cranking the cup, exactly. And you're going way too fast.
Welcome to the Feywild.
Yeah, welcome to the Feywild, where like you could vom.
You probably will vom. Under Baba Yaga's tutelage, Natasha grew into a talented spellcaster and soon became known as Natasha the Dark. In contrast to her sister, adopted daughter of Baba Yaga, Elena the Fair. Now, we aren't going to talk about Elena again, so I will just say here that Elena the Fair is an extremely powerful, lawful good sorceress who ended up at odds with her entire adopted family of, we'll say, less than good people.
Yeah, sure. Neutral at best.
Yeah, neutral at best. Despite Igwilv both hating Elena and not being the nicest person on the planet herself, she refuses to cause harm to her adopted sister in any way, shape, or form. Family's family in the Baba Yaga household, it would seem.
Okay, I mean, that's cool in its own way.
It's just, it's a character. I don't know much about her. We're not going to talk any more about her, but she exists. And in case you're interested, you guys can go look into that.
Yeah, if you need like a Deus Ex Machina force of good to show up to stop Igwilv in your campaign.
She is the, what's the good witch in the north in Wizard of Oz?
Glinda.
She's the Glinda to Igwilv's Elphaba.
It's Glinda, huh? Like
it's
Glinda,
yeah.
Not Glenda.
It's Glinda, yeah.
Is Glinda a name?
Glinda is a name. I have an aunt Glinda.
Okay, there you go. There you have it.
Moving on. Igwilv's path to greatness began in the dancing hut of Baba Yaga, where she was taught dark magic and forbidden incantations, including how to summon demons at the age of 10. Eventually, she had learned all she could under her mother's tutelage and set off into the world.
Is that a hag thing? Summoning demons?
It can be night hags. Night hags kind of like consort with the lower planes, while a lot of the other hags tend to be more like fae stuff.
Do hags like, because they're hags, right? We're talking about hags right now.
Baba Yaga's a hag, yeah.
Yeah, so
in this context.
They kind of move between whatever it is they want. Like if a hag wanted to start doing demon shit, they would become a night hag. Is that how that works?
You know, I haven't seen that, but like if I were to see that, I'd be like, oh, that kind of tracks.
A neutral hag finds a book. Like a bad book, and it's like, oh, you can summon demons with this book? Well, maybe I'll just start, you know, chapter one and not go any farther, and then, you know, all of a sudden they're in,
I'll go as far as to say, like, hags don't not consort with demons.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
So Igwilv ended up in the Free City of Greyhawk after this, where she went by the more familiar Tasha and joined the Company of Seven, an adventuring group whose members would later achieve great fame and power. Zagig... Regine, how would you say this name?
Irrigine?
Oh, that's so good. I should have asked you first.
You usually when a Y is at the front.
Zagig, how did you say it?
Irrigine? I could see Irrigine, I guess.
Irrigine, we'll go. Zagig Irrigine, a wizard in the party, took on Tasha as an apprentice and lover.
Ooh.
I'm going to take you on as an apprentice and a lover.
I will teach you. No. Everything I know.
No. It was during this time that she wrote the tome Lore of Subtle Communication, which included the infamous Tasha's Hideous Laughter Spell.
Oh, nice.
Among others.
Among others. How to sex.
Together, the spellcasters imprisoned the demon lord Frazer Blue.
What?
To Castle Greyhawk.
That's crazy. And that's like super canonical to the Greyhawk setting, right?
Yep,
so it was them. We've probably touched on that, huh?
We have in the Frazer Blue episode. You know, demon lord of sick gains.
That's Fraz.
That's Fraz.
I always mix up who's getting the sickest gains because Baphomet is always getting sick gains as well, right?
Always had the sick gains. Well, Frazer Blue is actually the demon lord of lies and illusions, but he's fucking ripped.
Yeah.
He's just jacked.
He looks like a gargoyle, kind of.
He does. Gargoyle-esque.
Yeah. Like Goliath from the show Gargoyles from the 1990s.
Sure, absolutely. So they imprisoned Frazer Blue. Tasha learned many secrets from him. This began in Igwilv's fascination with demon lords. It's going to come up a lot later.
Hell yeah, we like demon lords. It's Year of the Fiend. This is very
fitting.
Year
of the Fiend. It is very fitting. You're right.
Damn, why does it feel like it's been a long time since we've done fiend stuff? Is it because we did our spooky month?
It's because of spooky month. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that was fiendish, you know, encompassing. But
it
not
was fiend adjacent.
Yeah, it was evil. It was spooky.
It was definitely evil.
It wasn't fiendish.
It was
the specific
fiendish.
Category. No. Well, I mean, we do what we want in October, which is spooky
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. Not only did we do spooky stuff in October, but then we, out of chronology, we've just recorded the expert classes episode.
Right.
So now it's been 4 weeks in another week, so 5 weeks.
Next episode, we're covering D&D 1's expert classes.
Yes.
Which
spoilers.
Is not, we've recorded it, but we have not.
Absolutely.
With our special guest.
Indeed.
Dagonzo.
All right, let's get back to it.
Okay.
She located Frazer Blue's half... human son later. Sakanth.
Sakanth,
a famous and powerful wizard known for checking the schemes of Orcus Grost and Thara's Dune.
Okay.
Though this was under false pretenses, as he did so to further his own father's schemes. Remember, his dad is Frazer Blue.
Right.
She found, how do we say it again?
Sokanth.
She bound Sokanth to her service, using him as her slave for generations.
Oh wow!
So now she's got Frazer Blue's son as a slave.
Yeah, and he's in with like some of the nose of these other.
Well, no,
demon
he's not
lords,
really
yeah?
in with them. He's just he has actively countered them on the material plane multiple times.
So. Yeah, I mean, like he spies on them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's dope.
Yeah.
He knows how to do that.
That's true. Igwilv eventually summoned and imprisoned the demon lord Grazit.
Mm-hmm.
She managed to seduce the demon lord into helping her with her plans of conquest and went on to bear him a son.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Ayaz, who went on to become a demon god of deceit, evil, oppression, pain, and wickedness.
Okay, there
That's
you go.
That's her son.
Well, I mean, we've got like demigods like all over the place here, right?
Yeah.
So she just basically made a demi-demon.
So, yeah, she birthed a half-demon lord, Cambion.
Right, okay.
Who, in his own right, rose to power and became a demon god.
Sweet.
A demigod, yeah. With Grazit's help, Igwilv went on to build an army to attack and control the nation of Perrinland, which she dominated and ruled for 10 years from her secret lair in the lost caverns of Sokanth. Soon after, Igwilv accidentally let Grazitz escape her control, resulting in an epic battle between the two, where Igwilv ultimately, though barely, came out victorious.
That tracks.
Mm-hmm. Grazit fled to his abyssal home, and the weakened Igwilv suffered a damaged psyche and great loss of personal power.
Also tracks.
Yeah. Upon hearing this, the oppressed Perrinland subjects took up arms and defeated her forces, regaining their nation. Good for
Absolutely.
Them. You go, good, Perrinland.
Good job, Perrinland.
You get it back.
You did a good one.
For a while, Igwilv was presumed dead. Her son, Ayaz, became a demigod and started the Greyhawk Wars.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, indeed. It was then the Queen of Witches reemerged with a restoration of her powers and aided her prodigal son.
She, you doing a war in here?
Yeah,
I'm back, baby.
I'm great at wars.
That sounds good.
She once again attempted to summon and bind Grazit, but this time the Demon Lord could find her with him in the abyss instead.
Oh, she got greedy.
Dun, dun, dun.
So her and her son.
No,
or
no,
both of them.
No,
both
just
of them.
Her, just her. Her son is being her son. Off elsewhere. He actually has some horrible stuff that happens to him later.
Oh, okay. Because it says Demon Lord confined her with him in the abyss.
With him. Grazit confined her with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. All right. Cool.
During her stay in the abyss, Igwilv became extremely knowledgeable about the political hierarchy and goings on between the various powers within. And she wrote all she learned down. Igwilv is probably most famous for one of the biggest literary contributions to the wizarding world, the Demonomicon of Igwilv, an expansive treatise documenting the abyss's infinite layers and inhabitants.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty fucking cool. The Demonomicon of Igwilv is the most thorough and blasphemous tome of demonology in the multiverse. The tome recounts both the oldest and most current profanities of the abyss and demons. Demons have attempted to censor the text, and while sections have been ripped from the book's spine, the general chapters remain, ever revealing demonic secrets.
Can you imagine Demogorgon reading this book and being like, you can't say that. You can't say
you
this
You can't
part.
Let them know that about
this
me.
This page shouldn't be in here.
That's private information.
We need to find all the copies of this book immediately.
So, and the book holds more than blasphemies. Caged behind lines of script roils a secret piece of the abyss itself, which keeps the book up to date no matter how many pages are removed.
Oh. I keep ripping it out. And then I go to read it and it's back. And I swear to God, there's the page on the floor.
And it longs to be more than a mere reference material, whatever that means. It was during her stay that she and Grazit formed the most toxic power couple in the history of D&D.
Oh, cool.
I will not get into the details, but let's just say that
Grazit
had not forgotten everything Igwilv had put him through during his captivity, and he made sure she didn't either.
Yikes.
But after God knows how much debaucherous torture / pleasure they put each other through, Grazit and Igwilv came to understand that they loved nothing more than hating each other, and they hated nothing more than loving each other. And to the dismay and detriment of the Dark Prince's consorts, Igwilv was set free to roam the halls of his palace and scheme at his side.
He's just like, okay, that's enough. Just go do what you want.
Yeah. But also help me. Her counsel and extraordinary knowledge of demonology guided Grazit's campaigns of manipulation and conquest. Igwilv frequently banished trusted advisors of the Dark Prince's enemies to the material world where they would wreak untold havoc. Such was her power that she could summon entire legions of lesser demons away from the field of battle, leaving Grazit's enemies with insufficient forces to withstand the Dark Prince's assault. These displaced demonic legions would appear elsewhere, engaged and enraged and bloodthirsty, leading to the fall of nations in the natural world.
Oh,
so this is just her collateral damage. She's pulling out these forces just to help her husband essentially win. Mm-hmm. But like, she's putting these forces in the material world where people are like, what the fuck? There's a legion of demons on her doorstep suddenly. She's messed up, man.
Yeah.
Despite their obvious synergy and success, Igwilv and Grazit were ever wary of each other's machinations, and trust was in short supply between them, if it existed at all. Numerous enemies sought to drive a wedge between them, fearing that if the Dark Prince and the Mother of Witches were united, they had the potential to dominate the Abyss layer by layer. Most of all these attempts failed, as the couple often held fast purely to spite those that sought to sunder their dysfunctional bond. Like, they hate each other, but they're not going to let that get in between them because fuck everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Until a demon known as Tuerni the Merciless finally broke the depraved bonds between them.
Okay, that's weird. So this is like a parallel to Fierna and Belial, it seems.
Kind of.
The demonic version.
We're missing the ancestral part of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, What I'm saying is that they love each other, but also hate each other.
Yes, exactly.
And they're more powerful together.
And they work so good together.
Yeah.
But they also don't want to.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, to spite Grazit and obtain Yggdrasil's aid with schemes involving her son Ayaz, Tuoreni neutralized the magic that held Yggdrasil in the Dark Prince's domain. So here's the thing is like they were working together and all this other stuff is all that's true.
She's still a prisoner.
But she was still a prisoner.
Yeah.
Until Tuoreni found a way to break that spell.
Some Stockholm syndrome going on.
Indeed. This sparked a cataclysmic battle between Yggdrasil and Grazit. But neither of them was willing to deliver a decisive blow. Instead, they each laid waste to halls of priceless treasures, slew favored servants and concubines, and traded venomous barbs and unholy tongues.
Oh, jeez.
Each held some of his or her power in reserve, calling their weakened states following their previous struggle.
Grazit, you better not break my pottery barn dishes. I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
You put my concubine down.
Yeah, basically. Eventually, though, Grazit finally granted Yggdrasil safe passage from Azagrat. A host of demonic servants conveyed her research on rituals and amassed relics wherever she might go. As far as demonic separations go, this is as close to an amicable one as one could hope
for. Yeah, it's got to break bad.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if it didn't break bad.
It'd be weird if it didn't.
Do you think they got tired after that all that fighting?
I think they were exhausted.
Do you think they took a short rest?
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe we should follow suit.
I think so. Shout out to Demon Gorgon. Shout out to Demon Gorgon. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Demon Gorgon. Shout out to Demon Gorgon. Oh, yeah.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're back at it again, and we're going to talk more about demons and witches.
We are.
That's right.
We are definitely going to do that.
Thank you, everyone, for your support. I think we're going to do Patreon shout-outs at the end of this one, right?
Yeah,
we're going to have to.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
So thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. It really is the best way to support us, especially since AdSense does the thing, stupid thing they do.
Yeah, basically, YouTube makes us no money. We keep doing it anyways because we love you guys, but yeah, it. Fuck you, dude.
Let's get back to it.
Okay. Yggdrasil remained in the abyss for a time after this bad breakup, and even tried dwelling in the adjacent realm of Hades for a time. But in her quest for absolute power, she had made too many enemies and underestimated their determination to destroy her. So she fled to other worlds and across planes to escape the worst of them. She eventually took a page out of her mother's book and sequestered herself in the Feywild, where she assumed the guise of an archfey and carved out a spectacular domain for herself. And this is where we get into the wild beyond the Witchlight. So if you are in a campaign right now in this setting, you probably want to stop here because it's major spoilers ahead.
Yes, we are going to get into Wild Beyond the Witchlight spoilers.
Indeed.
So get ready.
Starting now. So Igwilf the Witch Queen created the persona of Zilbina to hide from her most hated enemies. In the Feywild, she raised a magnificent palace and set about establishing herself as a benevolent archfey Zilbina of Prismir.
Is it Zybilna?
Zybilna, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Zybilna. Yeah. Of Prismir, an avatar of mercy for destitute mortals.
Ooh.
Her closest allies, though, saw through the cracks in her facade flashes of arrogance and cruelty that conflicted with her kindly persona, but they ascribed this behavior to the mercurial nature of archfey.
Okay. Like, we don't fucking get it.
Yeah, you know,
we're crazy. Not supposed to get
they're
it.
Archfey. They're archfey. Yeah, exactly.
We never get it.
Gradually, Igwilf transformed into a fey creature in truth, though she outwardly still appears human. Her disposition has also changed over time as well, as she has become less interested in personal power and more interested in exploring her fey existence.
That's crazy. She's like, I want to be a demon so bad, like, because I'm a witch. I want to be a demon now. Yeah. Goes and does a bunch of demon shit. It's like, damn, I can't short rest down here. I'm going to go to the Fae. I can't long rest either. I'm going to go to the Fae and just you become the... She just became a Fae creature?
That's what it says, man. Yeah.
It's not like she did a Fae ritual or like absorbed a Fae creature or whatever. She's like, I'm Fae now.
So I do know that she did a thing where in order to suppress her less than savory inclinations... She concentrated like her six worst personality traits and turned them or either infused them into or made them into lower level demons called dretches. And she has six dretches that I think she keeps under her palace that are like represent her six worst qualities.
Great.
That she has separated herself from.
Okay. She just has to like keep them in cages.
She had
in her
a
basement.
Midlife crisis, basically. She realized she couldn't keep like. Running with unsavory characters for millennia on end. She just wasn't getting anywhere. She's trying to turn a new leaf.
I don't know who I am anymore.
Exactly.
And if I'm Fae, then no one will know who I am.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly.
Okay, sure. That's some Fae bullshit if I've ever heard it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this seems to be where Wizards is leaving her character for the long term, as far as I can see. She's an archfey now.
All right.
During her immensely long life, Igwilf was responsible for the creation and collection of many magical objects, and not just the Demonomicon. She has a vast collection of magic items, oddities, and personal mementos that she keeps within the Palace of Heart's Desire in her home plane of Prismir. Notable among these are a magical mirror that she shows the individual gazing into it what they desire most in the reflection within. Which isn't that like the mirror of Harry Potter? What's it called? The mirror of
Idris something?
Yeah, that one.
Harry Potter mirror. Let's go. I'll Google that.
She has three jars of time. That displayed the visage of a being at three different points in their life, a magical chessboard gifted to her from the Archmage Mordenkainen, and the Vorpal Greatsword Snickersnack.
Ira said.
there we go. One of Igwilf's most wondrous and powerful items is her personal cauldron, an artifact that she crafted with the assistance of her adoptive mother. It holds two different forms and many magical properties, including the power to permanently freeze time for everyone within a 1,000-foot radius of it.
Okay, that's super duper strong.
Yeah, it is. Her personal library holds tomes that originated from across the plains. On her person, Igwilf wears a robe of the Archmagi and an amulet of the plains. During her time in the Abyss, she wielded a staff of power.
By the way, 1,000 feet is 300 meters.
Nice. While Igwilf was most famous for creating her namesake, Demonomicon, she also authored the unpublished tome, The Faceless Lord, a more focused study on the demon prince Jublix, and a famous study on all things arcane titled Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Damn, that's like, we didn't even talk about Jublix like at all, and then all of a sudden she's like, I wrote a book on that fool.
She did.
But I looked at that fool for a while.
Yeah. Igwilf was credited with a number of spells, most of which were described in the Demonomicon. Her spells included Dolor, Ensnarement, Exaction, Imbrue, Implore, Lover's Call, Minimus Containment, Tasha's Caustic Brew, Tasha's Hideous Laughter, Tasha's Mind Whip, and Tasha's Otherworldly Guise, and Torment.
Yeah. So if you're using a Tasha spell...
It's an Yggdrasil spell.
Yeah, you can straight up just lift that tag off of it if you don't want that lore attached to your
That's
game.
That's true. That's very true. Apart from the spells developed by her, Yggdrasil was credited with the creation of Tasha's atrocious robe that was brought to Toril by planeswalker Mintassin the Magnificent.
I bet he named it that.
He might have. The enchanted robe was among the wizard's extensive collection of curios from across the multiverse. And that's it. That's really all I got about Yggdrasil.
Check out my atrocious ass robe. I made it myself. That's not what I would call it.
No, it's not what I would call it either. That's hilarious. But I do believe we have a stat block to go over.
We do.
We have a current 5e stat block for Yggdrasil the Witch Queen.
Yggdrasil the Witch Queen.
Want to tell me all about it?
Sure. What's this little L for next to it?
Great question. I got to look at it.
It's a, it's a little octagon with, or no, that's not the shape.
Hexagon. L, legendary. Is she a legendary creature, probably?
Maybe. That could be it. Elf and legendary. Well, I'll get started. Yggdrasil the Witch Queen is a medium fey wizard, chaotic neutral. Armor class is 19. That's a robe of the archmage that's on there. Let's see. Hit points are 255 or 30 d8 plus 120. Speed is 30 feet. Strength is a 10. Dex 18. Con 18. Intelligence 27. Wisdom 12. And charisma 23. Some pretty beefy stats. Saving throws, you're going to get a plus 14 to intelligence, a plus 7 to wisdom, a plus 12 to charisma. Skills, arcana plus 20, history plus 14, nature plus 14. Yggdrasil is immune to being charmed or frightened. Yggdrasil has true sight for 60 feet, a passive perception of 11. They speak abyssal, celestial, common, draconic, elvish, infernal, and sylvan. It's a lot.
Well, she's very smart. That 27 intelligence is nothing to sneeze at. So,
challenge rating is 20 for 25,000 experience points. That's lower than most of the demon lords, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think we can say she's slightly diminished since her like heyday.
Yeah.
Now that she's gone fey.
Less powerful, more confusing. That's what fey is. Proficiency bonus is plus 6. We got a boon of immortality. Yggdrasil is immune to any effect that would age her, and she can't die from old age, so she became immortal.
Yeah. As an archfey, she's immortal now.
Okay, that's a good reason to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was effectively immortal before this, but
As a demon lord, you're essentially immortal unless you are slain on the plane, right?
Yeah, although she was never a demon or a demon lord. She just consorted with them.
Yes, and had their babies.
Man.
Legendary resistance 3 times a day. If Yggdrasil fails a saving throw, she can choose to succeed it instead. Magic resistance. Yggdrasil has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. This trait is bestowed by her robe of the Archmagi.
I just feel like she should have that, but okay. We'll say it's the robe.
Guess it's the robe.
Is that atrocious robe?
Well, no, it's the robe of the Archmage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or Archmagi. It's written differently in the stat block in two places.
That's interesting.
Okay, well... special equipment. Yggdrasil wears an amulet of the planes and a robe of the Archmagi. I'm
trying to see if the amulet is like its effects are listed anywhere.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it? Okay.
Cool.
Oh, you could hover on it, huh?
Yes. I didn't do that, but
tell me.
It's okay. It's a wondrous item. Very rare. Requires attunement. While wearing this amulet, you can use an action to name a location that you are familiar with on another plane of existence. Then make a DC 15 intelligence check, which this chick is definitely going to pass.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
On a successful check, you can cast the plane shift spell. On a failure, you and each creature and object within 15 feet of you travel to a random destination.
Oh, shit.
Roll a D100. On a 1 through 60, you travel to a random location on the plane you named. On a 61 through 100, you travel to a randomly determined plane of existence.
You know, they say to never split the party, but this thing seems designed to split the party if you fuck up.
We're going to run two campaigns.
Yeah, seriously.
Since you guys can't schedule on the same every biweekly, I'm going to take this half on the first week and this half on the second week.
There we go.
All right. Actions. Multi-attack. Yggdrasil makes 2 Bewitching Bolt attacks. Bewitching Bolt says melee or ranged spell attack plus 16 to hit, reach of 5 feet or range of 120 feet, one target. It's going to hit for 25 or 5d6 plus 8 lightning damage. Nice. And if the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC 22 wisdom saving throw or be charmed by Igwilf.
Oh, shit. It's lightning that charms you.
Until the start of her next turn.
I like it. That's cool.
Yeah, lightning isn't typically charming. It typically just murders you. Abyssal Rift, recharge 5 through 6. Cool. This is going to be fun. Igwilf opens a momentary Abyssal Rift. There it is. Yeah. Within 120 feet of her.
You can get fully away from her demons.
I know. I was like, don't talk about my past. Also, I'm just going to keep doing demon shit. Once you start doing... We know this. Once you start doing demon shit, there's no going back.
No, definitely not.
You can become immortal or whatever, but you're going to be doing demon... You're still going to be doing demon shit. Yeah. Each creature in that area must make a DC 22 constitution saving throw, taking 40... or 9d8 necrotic damage on a failed save, or half as much on a successful one. In addition, there is a 50% chance that three Hezraos that appear in an unoccupied space in the sphere. They act as Idwilf's allies, take their turns immediately after hers, and can't summon other demons. There's that.
So Hezraos are challenge rating 8 each, so that's just pretty three good. Of these motherfuckers show up.
They remain. This is like the Headless Horseman creature. Which one was that called?
From two Halloweens ago? The Dullahan?
The Dullahan.
Yeah.
A fun one. Go check out our Dullahan's episode.
I like that episode.
It makes floating skulls instead of Hezraos, but that's pretty much it.
Also, those floating skulls are only like challenge rating 1/2.
Sure, but it serves the same idea.
You
want to kind of split up your adventuring party's action economy to not focus solely on one creature.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't ignore three Hezrao.
No, I mean you can, but you'll die. They remain until they die or until Igwilf dismisses them as an action. Just get the fuck out of here, you goddamn demons. I don't need you anymore. Spellcasting. Igwilf casts one of the following spells requiring no material components and using intelligence as a spellcasting ability. Save spell. Spell save DC is 24. Wow. Plus 16 to hit with a spell attack. There's the magic. At will, detect magic, disguise self, invisibility, light, mage hand, message, prestidigitation, Tasha's hideous laughter. That would be weird if she didn't cast the Tasha spell.
Well, she's missing a lot of the others.
I know.
Now, here's the thing. So the at will, Tasha City's Laughter is at will, right? Can she cast it at higher levels at will, or is it stuck at first level?
That's a good question. I'm pretty sure it's stuck at first level.
Because if it's stuck at first level, why would she ever do this when she can fucking Bewitching Bolt?
Well, as like a flex on out of combat, I would think.
Oh, okay. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't disguise self in combat.
No. You're right.
Three times a day, she can dispel magic, fly, and polymorph. Nice. Mm-hmm. And once a day, she can maze, telekinesis, teleport, and wish.
That wish one's pretty wild.
Just cast and wish once a day each.
Yeah, seriously.
Telekinesis, teleport. Yeah, I think there's probably more to this stat block and this creature, if you will, in the story than just combat. It's not like you just show up at the end and fight Igwilf.
I'm pretty sure you deal with her in her Zybilna. You deal with her in her Zybilna form pretty early on, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of that. And I would assume that she can just cast any Tasha spell or most spells. This is just like I don't know. This is for the stat block. For the stat block, you're not going to put like a bajillion spells in the list. I would take some, liberties with this. Yeah. Bonus action, phase step. Igwilf teleports along with any equipment she is wearing or carrying to an unoccupied space you can see within 30 feet of her. That's a cool thing that almost every powerful fey thing can do.
Yeah.
Reactions, negate spell twice a day. Negate spell is an interesting word phrasing for this.
Yeah.
When Igwilf sees a creature within 60 feet of her casting a spell, she tries to interrupt it. If the creature is casting a spell using a spell slot of 8th level or lower, its spell fails and has no effect. If casting a 9th level spell, it must succeed on a DC 22 intelligence saving throw, or the spell fails and has no effect.
That's pretty, I like that. That's good. That's a good feature.
So it's not counter spell, it's negate spell. So it's just not.
No.
It is using a reaction, but it's like her.
It's what else are you going to use it on?
It's negate spell, not counter. I'm just blocking your shit unless it's a 9th level, and then I might still be.
It must succeed on a So you have to succeed a DC 22 to punch through that 9th level.
Yeah, like
caveat.
If you're trying to do a restoration wish thing, and like, oof, man, that's a hard one to see canceled out. Mm-hmm. Igwilv can kick, these are legendary actions, can take three legendary actions, choosing from the options below. One legendary action option can be used at a time and only at the end of another creature's turn. Igwilv regains spent legendary actions at the start of her turn. Witchcraft. Igwilv uses spellcasting or face step. That's cool to legendary action a spell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dark speech costs two actions. Igwilv utters a phrase in a forbidden language.
Oh, no, not that language.
And not that one. It's one we haven't listed in D&D yet. It's crazy. She utters a phrase in a forbidden language and targets one or two creatures she can see within 60 feet of her. Each target must succeed on a DC 22 wisdom saving throw or take 11, 2d10, psychic damage and be frightened of Igwilv for 1 minute. A target can repeat the save at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success and thereby becoming immune to Igwilv's dark speech for 24 hours.
I don't like this one. I don't think it's that potent. For two actions... For the cost of two actions, and then like once they succeed, like eventually you'll use this on everyone in the party, and then it just won't work anymore.
Yeah, it seems like you can kind of, I mean, it's powerful to take people's turns away from them.
Yeah, making them frightened is powerful, but like how many people are like immune to frightened or found a way around frightened by this level?
This seems like something you do early in the fight.
Maybe, yeah.
And like you said, it's going to be less potent the longer the fight goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe do it early. Take a couple of people that might be buffing or whatever out of the combat. Well, if they're frightened, they can still do buffs and stuff. So maybe you want the frontliners feared in a way from you.
Yeah, I think so.
The people that are getting the buffs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe you should spend, if you have a bard in the party, you should be buffing up, or a cleric or whatever.
Yeah.
Early. And the last thing we have here is Fae Beguilement, which is three actions. Igwilv targets one creature she can see within 60 feet of her. The target must succeed on a DC 22 charisma saving throw or be possessed by a fae spirit.
Damn.
Let me
that
just
That sounds
like,
awfully like demonic possession.
I was just going to say, let me do some demon shit, but fae style.
Yeah, exactly.
I know how to put spirits into people. How about one of these ones? Confusing ass fae bullshit. So while possessed, the target must obey Igwilv's commands.
Nice.
The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, banishing the fae spirit and ending the effect on itself
on a success.
That's
a good one, especially if you grab the paladin and just have him burn those level 5 fucking smites right away.
Oh my god.
On his allies, yeah.
That's
or
crazy.
Their allies, yeah.
Oh.
That's what I would do.
Charisma saving throw on the paladin though.
Oh yeah, they've got high charisma. You're right about that.
Yeah, but like fucking with somebody else, like maybe you have
shit, grab the fighter and have them do their 4 fucking attacks on somebody too. That's also brutal.
Yeah, the fighter, the bard, the druid, fight this bear.
Yeah.
Hey, wild shape into a bear.
That's true. Or grab the wizard if you can and then have him like just nuke the party with a level 9 spell.
You could turn it into I think a bear is a good one because you can turn the druid into a bear, make the druid turn itself into a bear, and then if they want to knock out the bear, it doesn't have like an extremely high amount of HP. It's going to cut into their base HP, and you're burning their wild shapes.
Yeah, yeah,
like that's not bad. You still have a fucking bear to deal with.
Yeah.
You're taking
true.
Away.
That's very true.
You're taking someone out of the fight, turning that action economy into your action economy, and you're burning resources. That's pretty good. This is a really interesting stat block. I think so.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see this stat block go up against the Vecna the Archlich stat block that we just read a couple episodes back.
I think the Vecna one like wins hands down, doesn't
it? I think
so.
But it would be interesting to see them go toe-to-toe.
It would be a cool
fight.
But
I do think the Vecna one wins.
Yeah, especially if the Vecna
gets
a little...
That Vecna one was like... I would consider it well written, but that's because it's so potent.
Yeah. You ever see a little knife action? You stab Igwilv. You do a little stabby stab. Now she can't do stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what the knife did, right? Made
I don't
not
remember.
Do stuff.
I just remember the knife's name was Afterthought.
Yeah. And like Vecna does all their bullshit and then it's like,
I should
stab somebody.
All right, well, you got any questions or comments or anything to add to Igwilv the Witch Queen?
No, I really like it. Even though it's kind of like, okay, I guess they're going fey with it, sort of. You know,
it's like the first half of the episode, we were just all demon stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end, oh, by the way, she's fey, here's a stat block.
Canonically, she's a fey creature.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it kind of makes sense.
I'm
like,
curious to see where she goes if they continue down this path. But
yeah.
There's a part of me that misses the old evil, like, no compunctions witch queen of demons.
Yeah, now, like, she's... like changed her appearance quite a bit again. And
yeah, as she does.
Now confusing. Hashtag Faye bullshit.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank all our patrons for voting for this topic, and I look forward to next month's Patreon voted episode.
Me too. It was a fun one.
Yeah. With that, we can get ready for a long rest.
Let's do that. Shout out to Hey, everybody, welcome to The Long Rest. This is the part of the show where we say thanks a whole bunch to specific people this time.
Indeed.
Yeah, that was good. There's a lot of good returning Dungeon Cast bits in this episode that I think a lot of longtime listeners will appreciate. So let me know which one was your favorite. The return of hashtag Faye bullshit. We had some good Demon Lord mentions and drops.
We did. Some shout outs to some Demogorgons.
Some Tashas. Let's talk about people that help support us on Patreon and how you're making us live better. Thank you guys. We got the studio drywalled.
We did.
It's a work in progress.
Cost a fortune.
Yeah, it was expensive, but like it's definitely gonna be worth it.
It looks great.
It sounds a little worse. Like insulated and it sounded a little better.
Yeah,
not perfect.
Yeah.
And then now it sounds a little worse.
More echoey, yeah.
And so I have a quote out to get some sound treatment stuff done. And so we're doing that next, and we're going to make this into a legitimate recording studio. It's going to be awesome. And it's all thanks to you guys. And real quick mention to everybody, I know we've been hitting it hard, especially on next episode that we've already recorded, where we thanked you guys so much for supporting the Kickstarter that we did. based on Super Quest Saga.
Yeah.
That show has ended. It was amazing.
It was a good ride.
Thanks, everybody. If you want to listen, if you want to binge watch like a full campaign we did, that's available.
Yeah, it is.
The whole thing is there. And the consensus of the audience is that it's very good.
Yes.
And I agree.
Thank you, guys.
So we're doing a Kickstarter, which is a campaign setting book called Starseeker's Guide to Drakenstar.
Yeah, which will be set in that science fantasy space opera setting. It's going to have all kinds of new player options, a lot of race options. I think we're doing like 12 subclasses plus an entirely new class.
Hell yeah.
So the class is called the Machinist, and there's gonna be like 100 new monsters, all like more alien kind of sci-fi themed. But
people still get it?
I know for a fact that once the book is made, the digital copies will be for sale. As for hardcover copies, I would love to make those for sale. And
it just depends,
we have that opportunity, I will make it happen for sure.
Yeah. But as far as like the Kickstarter is now closed, so getting your hard copy is kind of walled off at the moment.
Right now, unless we can figure something out, which we might. But right now, that's not my focus. My focus is getting the book made.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to write all the elf stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So let's get into the Patreon stuff. Thank you guys so much. I think we're going to be announcing our yearly item coming up soon is going to change, right?
Yes.
We probably
should have that already.
Yeah.
I have it in mind, but I knew I was forgetting to talk to you about something before this.
Yeah. Okay. I remembered an idea I had a while ago. Also, we'll talk about that after, and probably not next episode, but the one after, we'll let you guys know what it's going to switch out to.
Indeed.
That's at the $20 tier, if you guys are interested in that. I think this year it was a shout-out to Demogorgon shirt.
Yes, it was.
With some special thumbnail art. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into it. We want to shout out, here we go, Tracker Jack.
Thank you, Tracker Jack.
They've annually subscribed, William.
Nice.
We have Adam Derby.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Bethany Davis.
Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you, Bethany. Christopher McDowell.
Thank you, Christopher. Annual subscriber.
Annual subscriber. Matt S.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Mattis. Vime. They did several. Okay. Vime.
Thank you, Vime.
Vime.
Thank you, Vime.
Woo.
Woo.
Vime.
Thank you, Vime.
Woo.
Woo. How did they do this?
They started in at the low tier and then upgraded to the woo tier and then upgraded a little bit more.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Vime.
Thank you, Vime. Woo. Zephon Zeiler.
Thank you, Zephon Zeiler.
I haven't done air horns and it feels like a long time.
Yeah, everyone started going annual, man.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. It really matters.
It does. Thank you, guys.
Wade Gali. Sge we.
What?
It's
the first one.
Wade.
Thank you, Wade.
Hold up a second. And then they've went from bam 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 to.
Nice. Thank you, Wade.
Thank you. Let's see. Sorry, I lost my place. Oh, wow. Joseph Messier, I don't think it's Messier. I think it's Messier, as I've heard and pronounced in hockey.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you a lot, Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
Fuck, they annually subscribe so hard.
Thank you, Joseph.
The Last Mile.
He's back. The Last Mile. Thank you, Last Mile.
They're doing their thing again.
Oh, yeah? Awesome.
They're getting their shout-outs in.
Thank you, Last Mile.
Yeah, you guys want to upgrade like a dollar? We'll shout you out again.
It's
dope. Paul H.
Thank you, Paul.
And also, then they upgraded to annual. So, thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
The last of the Othis. Othis? O-T-H-Y-S?
I think it's Othis.
Othis. Last of the Othis.
Last of the Othis. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, there aren't more of you. XN.
Thank you, XN. Annual subscriber, XN.
Patrick Lynch.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. They're on here again, but we did them like 3 times. But thank you, Vime.
Thank you, Vime.
Woo. Woo. Dark Rabbit.
Thank you, Dark Rabbit.
Woo.
Woo.
In the face.
Thank you, in the face.
Thank you, in the face. Gorgoth, shit fister.
Oh, fuck. Thank you, Gorgoth, shit fister.
Beep, 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 beep. Thank you, Gorgoth, shit fister.
My Jesus Christ.
I'll fucking say it. You write whatever.
Absolutely. That's too funny.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is a fun one to say. Doru Goramon.
Thank you, Doru Goramon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Caitlin Munson.
Is that a Digimon?
It sounds quite a lot like a Digimon because it ends in Mon. Let me just Google Doru Goramon.
It's got to be.
Digimon is coming up so much on the show lately.
Has it? I don't remember it coming up.
Because it first came up with Jake.
Oh, okay. Because
he made a Leonin barbarian.
Okay.
And there's a Leomon, I guess.
Okay. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's a Digimon.
Gotcha.
I'm Doru Goramon.
We got to do our Digimon diligence over here.
I know. Are you guys going to make me get into Digimon? Is that what's happening? It's spelled a little different, but it seems like it is a Digimon.
Okay, nice.
You want to see it? It's like a big crazy dragon-looking bipedal thing.
Yeah, it looks like a Doru Goramon.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And for our last annual subscriber, Caitlin Munson.
Thank you, Caitlin. Nice. Annual subscriber, Caitlin.
Yeah, please keep doing that. That's awesome. And that's everybody. So thank you guys so much for coming and supporting us. The annual subscriptions help a lot. And the regular subscriptions are awesome as well. All of it is good. And it makes it so that we can live our lives comfortably. So thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate it. If you guys want to jump into Patreon and help subscribe, it's the best way to support us. There's now a new tier, which I don't think anybody knows about, but we're going to start promoting a little harder starting in the next few episodes, and it's the Omega tier. So you can come in at $5, or you can come in, kick in a couple extra bucks and come in at $7, and you will get our Super Quest Saga sequel campaign, which is nothing to do with Super Quest Saga.
The early version of it.
Yes, the early, the just raw recording of it, because I'm going to do a lot of sound design on this project, but it's called Super Quest Omega, and I am taking over the DM seat, and it's going to be a full-on, couple-year-long campaign here that we're embarking on. We've got player interviews, and I think I tried to post the world builder. I think that's on my to-do list for today, but that'll be in there.
Okay.
World-building episode, and we're going to start recording episodes for that,
Next week,
I think, or in, 2 weeks. Coming up really close, and as soon as those get recorded, I do a quick listen and chop them up and put them in the feed. So there will be prologue episodes in there fairly soon, in November. We'll have episodes under our belt. So yeah, if you guys want to listen to that, they'll be coming out fairly regularly there. Every week or two, there should be a new episode. We're trying to get through the recording of it quickly so I can have time to sound design it on the back end. And then we're going to be dropping those on the feed after the current thing that's dropping on the feed is done. So that's everything from me. Will, do you have anything?
No, that's it.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful fucking day. Stay out of the fae.
Let's call it a game.
Call it a game.
The Dungeon Cast.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.